Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation, chapter 3. In the middle of the 19th century, Daniel Double Whittle found a composition that he took and made it into a song. Later, C.C. Williams put it to music. The song had a simple but thought-provoking question. Have you any room for Jesus? You would find it in our All-American hymnal on page 218, where verse 1 says, have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Then the chorus says, room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing your heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Shall we stand together as we read from the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 14. Verse 14, Revelation chapter 3, the letter to the church at Laodicea. Some believe it is the final church age. I believe that all seven churches were represented at the time of the writing. And I believe that all seven churches that received letters then are represented today. And some, unfortunately, are like this particular church at Laodicea. And it says in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup, and will sup with him, and he with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your hand of blessing upon this sermon. Lord, we thank you for the songs that have been sung, for the Bible that has been read, and also for the verse that has been explained. But Lord, now especially as we have this time of sermon, we ask that your will be done and accomplished. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Pastor M. Jackson writes, Christ has been forgotten not only by sinners, but by the church. He continues, too many Christians have no time for Bible reading, no time to pray, and very little time for church, unquote. Four thoughts with thoughts underneath of each of them. Number one, Christ has been crowded out of our hearts. He's been crowded out. Verse 2 of the song says, room for pleasure, room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. There was a time in which Sunday was a day of going to church, honoring our Lord. And yet today, the church becomes secondary to football games and the mall and other activities. Christ calls for a purity of heart in the Beatitudes, where in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." A sinful heart cannot speak the things of God. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." So do you have room for Jesus, King of Glory? Will you hasten now his word to obey? Will you do as the song encourages, swing the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while you may? As we were reading Revelation 3:20, some would like to say that is to the lost man, and the Lord is knocking at his heart's door, wanting to come in to be the Savior, but not so. It is written to the church of Laodicea, and who makes up the church? With those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so he has written this to believers who have, for whatever reason, still had church, but they had pushed Christ outside of the church. Well, after all, we don't want to offend anybody today. We don't want anybody to get their feelings hurt. Come as you are and leave as you were, but don't dare preach to us about repentance and the need to draw close to the Lord. And so thus, Christ is knocking at the door, wanting to come in. And so many say, well, it's okay if you're my Savior, but I really don't want you to be my King. In fact, I don't really even want you to be my friend, because I don't want anybody to know about you. The fact of the matter is, we need to let people know about Christ and what he has done for us. Point number two, Christ has been crowded out of our homes. Verse 3 says of the song that we've already done the first two verses, "Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain." The question has been asked many times in many a sermon by many a pastor. Is Jesus a welcome guest at your home? Or if he were to show up at your house and knock upon the door, would you ask for a few minutes so that we could put things in a way that would not be embarrassing to us? Joshua 24, verses 14 through 16 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Let me ask you the question today. Are there many gods being served today? Absolutely. I mean, after all, there is the God of money. The more money we have, the more we think we are blessed. But I've told you before that God has blessed America with gospel preaching churches. Don't you believe that that is a blessing? And yet how many hardly even attend the church anymore? Colossians 3:18 through 20, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And Ephesians 6:4 says, Father, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Christ has been crowded out of our homes. In a couple of weeks, we'll be putting up a couple of new banners here on the wall. On this one over here, it's going to say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And over here, it's going to say, husbands, love your wives. What do you think about that? I'm just throwing that out. I'm just joking. So what would you think if that was with the banners that were put up there? See, we can quote scripture, but oftentimes we really don't believe it, do we? But the fact of the matter is, Laura, we have some new banners being put. We have a couple that are going to be put up in a couple of weeks. And they're not going to say what I just said. But the fact of the matter is, the church has forgotten about Christ. And many families have forgotten about Christ. It's something that we do when nothing else gets in the way. When the fact of the matter is, church ought to be a habit. Hello? It ought to be a habit that we enjoy doing. Would you say that there are certain habits that you have to get into? Like taking your cholesterol medicine? Or your heart pressure medicine? Is that a habit? Absolutely. How about brushing your teeth? How many of you think you ought to brush your teeth every day? Twice a day. Yeah. Some three times a day. Yeah. And floss. Yeah, that's something good too. You know, they become habits, right? How about exercising? That's what I thought. But some people, they walk every day. Or every other day, and it becomes a habit. Should Bible reading be a habit? Prayer? Absolutely. Church attendance should be a habit. It should be something that we do regularly, but Christ has been crowded out of our homes. We have our large screen TVs with 7,854 channels. Slight exaggeration there. We have all the conveniences of home. Why do we need the Lord? Thought number three, Christ has been crowded out of our heads. Sinful thoughts. The Lord brought judgment upon the earth in Noah's day due to their wickedness and evil. Do you know what the word is? Imaginations. Imagination. Matthew 5:28 says, But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Did you read the little bit in the bulletin about pornography? And how many people that are church attenders watch pornography? Gentlemen and ladies, be careful where you go. I'll be honest with you. I don't know the password to Donna's computer. Now, it's got about 8 letters and 8 numbers. But I don't know it. I don't want to know it. I don't want the temptation of the pornography being available there. I've told you before, I believe if you have a computer in your home that it ought to be viewed only in an area that you can't hide. Because I think we need to be accountable. Because pornography destroys homes. It destroys relationships. And in many cases, it's destroying church members. It is crowded into our minds. We must be careful. You that are on Facebook, Be careful what you read. Be careful what you put out there. We need to be a testimony, right? Hello? You need to be a testimony. See, you have an opportunity to be a testimony a little bit different today than when this church began 62 years ago. How many of you remember when your phones were attached to the wall? Yeah, they usually were black. And then later you got a brown one or a different color, and then you got a cord that was longer than this long. Now you could walk all over the kitchen. Do you remember those days? You still have it, yeah. There you go. My wife and I, when we first moved back from Texas, we had a party line. You remember, how many of you had a party line at some point in time? Yes. And there was someone else on the line sometimes. I think we had a very good one. They hung up right away if we needed to use the phone. But be careful and use it for a testimony and a positive thing. 1 John 3:15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." Keeping your thoughts right. One is written, "What you think today, you will do tomorrow." Be careful. The psalmist David wrote, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Psalm 19, verse 14. Would you take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. Talking about your thought life and having it right and having it proper. Philippians, chapter 4, and we'll read verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Keeping our minds, our thoughts right. Which brings us to point number 4. How many points did I say I had? I'm glad you guys heard that part. But number 4, Christ has been crowded out of our habits. Now, we talked about habits just a couple of moments ago. But how often self is instead of others? Hate instead of love. Pleasure instead of prayer. Indifference instead of commitment. Selfishness instead of surrender. You're in the book of Philippians already, chapter 4 and verse 18. "But I have all and abound." Paul is writing this letter, most likely from the jail there in Rome. And he says, "I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Let me ask you this simple question. When was the last time you sacrificed something for the Lord? You sacrificed. There was church and there was something else and you said, "I'm going to church." And you sacrifice for the Lord. Well, when was the last time that you committed yourself to do something for Him? Not grudgingly, but you did it because you wanted to, because you wanted to do something that would please the Lord, that would please Him. If you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Now, if you were in my Sunday school class this morning, you know what this means. Because I mentioned in Sunday school that when we got to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I would be at my conclusion. I believe it's important that the church once again surrender itself with the idea of serving the Lord faithfully. Who makes up the church? It's not this building. Who's the church? We're the church. We that are born again, Bible believing, baptized believers. We're the church. And we need to surrender ourselves once again to the cause of Christ. Yes, it's good that we support missionaries, and I thank you for your part. In the last month, we've had three come through that we support. We had the Colts with us last Sunday night, and he and his wife and 9 of their 10 children were here, and I enjoyed their singing. It was a blessing. Then we had, before them, we had the Hastings out to New Mexico and Native Americans. And then before him, that couple was Bill Horton, who was here. His wife was unable to travel with him at this point in time. Longtime missionaries to Brazil. 44 years they have served as missionaries to Brazil. That's a long time. And yes, it's good that we give so that the Hortons can go to Brazil and the Hastings can go to New Mexico and the Coates can go to Guatemala. And we support another 75 missionaries or so. And it's good that we do that. But how about us? It's more than just giving that others can go. We need to do something here for the cause of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." What's it mean to be steadfast? Well, it means to continue day in and day out. Steadfast, unmovable. We are not to be tossed about by every wave of new thought. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, I know this, that there are very few Apostle Pauls. But that doesn't mean that we can't be better for the cause of Christ. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you ever done a project at home, and when you got done, you hid it? Because you said, "I don't want anybody to see what I did." Any of you? Would any of you be brave enough to say? None of you have. Wow, just a couple of you have done a project, and then wished you hadn't done it? I feel terrible. The cooking? Have any of you ever cooked something and the dogs wouldn't eat it? Yes. Wouldn't it be terrible if when we get to heaven, the Lord looked at us and said, "You know, you really didn't get the job done." You ever worry about that? I worry about that. Because there is a job to be done. It's not done yet. It's not done. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain. May we continue to serve the Lord faithfully till He calls us home. But not only are we faithful where we're here, let's be faithful in the work itself. The job is not to be done by Pastor Stephen and Pastor Paul. It's all of us working together so we can hear "well done." Shall we stand together? Number 17 is our song of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come and just say, "Lord, I know there's more I can do." Maybe you'd just like to come and say, "Lord, keep me faithful." Maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone, for an opportunity to be a testimony or a witness to someone. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now you would bless this invitation time. for your honor and glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.